I'm Katie, mom to two littles and four angel babies.
And I'm Sarah, an advocate for moms and children of all backgrounds and family types.
With two PhDs between us and collective decades spent unraveling how society shapes women's experiences, we're here to shred the rule books and their relentless tide of expectations. In this safe space, the complexities of motherhood find a candid, unfiltered voice. We're Undefining Motherhood, one conversation at a time. This is the last episode of season one of the Undefining Motherhood podcast, and we are so grateful to have had you along for the ride. We're wrapping up a few episodes short of our original plan, and today we're going to get really honest with you about why that is. We talk so much on this podcast about how to make the world a better place for women, which includes conversations about giving ourselves breaks, sharing the load of labor at home, and setting personal boundaries to allow for self-preservation. And that's played out in a lot of ways for us this season. So as we wrap up, we want to talk a little more about it, as well as about what we have in store for season two. We're also bringing in some comments from the community, and we are so excited to have you along for this journey. Hey, Sarah, it's so good to see you and so weird to be on screen, right?
Hey, friend. I know. I'm usually sitting right there beside you.
I know. I miss having you here. It's going to be a fun little experiment to do it this way, but I'd definitely rather have you like drinking your coffee out of the amazing cups you had made for me next to me like normal. But I am glad that you didn't have to drive all the way to Atlanta. If you're listening, you learn different little tidbits about us all the time, right? And one is that we don't actually live in the same place. Sarah drives from Alabama to Atlanta and stays with me for a few days, and that's how we record together. So, we're going to give this whole, doing it on the computer thing a try.
We are in a long-distance relationship.
A long-distance relationship, yeah. Okay, just don't tell Amy about it, okay?
Okay, I won't.
All right. Let's wrap up this season, because I feel like there's so much to talk about.
Yes. So what's been going on with you? What was the original plan for the podcast and what's changed? And tell me how you feel about that.
Yeah. So when we originally created the plan for this podcast, and we talked about this in our very first episode, I believe it was, first or second for sure, we talked about how our goal was to kind of divide it into segments, and mm-hmm. we were going to have an episode where Sarah and I talked about something very specific to that segment, advice that moms are given, questions that moms are asked, and words that are used to talk about women's bodies. And then we were going to have an expert who was going to come in at the end of those segments. So we're experts in words and in, gender studies at large, honestly. And so our research really feeds into all of that. And then we were going to have someone who was like a really niche level expert come in for each of those things to talk about the subjects we'd been discussing. And then the interviews were so good that they turned into more than one episode. And then we had one interview that was scheduled that we ended up saying, let's hold this for another time. It was with Dr. Jessica Zucker. She's the author of I Had a Miscarriage. And she and I are good friends, and we're both just kind of in it personally right now. And we kept having to reschedule on each other and finally said, this conversation just isn't meant to happen right now, even though it would fully wrap up what we wanted to talk about. I think the universe is telling us that we can do it so much more justice at a time that's better for each of us. Jessica has been really open about her experience with breast cancer and the medication that she has been on for that is not making her feel her best. I have briefly mentioned on here that my dad was recently diagnosed with liver cancer, and that has been just a huge life upheaval for me. That's really gotten in the way of marketing the podcast completely. I don't think we would have finished this season if we hadn't pre-recorded so much of it when Sarah came in December. So that's the beauty of doing something like pre-recording. But I think in a space where we're talking about how we have to give ourselves grace, how we have to be willing to change plans, how we have to accept that like we are not supposed to be able to do it all, then we have to say, you know what? If the best move for ourselves and for our people is to take a break until we can do justice again, even if it's not the exact plan for season one, then that's what we're going to do. And so I feel really great about that decision. I'm excited for the break that's going to come up. I'm excited to actually have a chance to market this podcast the way that I had planned to, because I love a good marketing plan. That's like, it gives me life and joy and giddiness. And
girl, you just love a plan. You love having a plan.
I love a plan. That's it, isn't it? And then when my dad got his diagnosis, I literally didn't work for 6 weeks. I went from working, what did you say when we saw each other last, Sarah? She said she thought I'd gone from working 10-hour days to 10 hours total in 6 weeks.
Yeah, something like that.
And so, yeah. You know.
Not in a judgy way.
Not in a judgy way. No, like this is what we believe in here, right? Not everyone has the flexibility to do that. It's like I was saying to my therapist after my dad's diagnosis, like my brother was off for a week, which is amazing mm-hmm. that he was able to get that. But then he was back at work and I was like, my brain can't function. I don't understand how he's mm-hmm. doing this. And my therapist said, because he doesn't have a choice. He has a corporate job mm-hmm. and he has to show up for it. You own your yep. own business. Your business is doing okay. It's doing fine without you being in it. So your brain isn't forcing you to be in it. And that's the grace you need to give yourself. So I feel like that's been sort of a theme we're trying to weave throughout this entire season. Okay. And the way we're wrapping it up, not entirely according to plan, I hope is just further evidence to our audience of how much we do believe in this undefining, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to do it a certain way for it to be good, for it to be right. You don't even have to do it the way you thought you were going to do it. No. It can still be good and beautiful and supportive.
Yeah. And also just the importance of relying on other women. You know, yes. like you knew you could step back because you had a team of people in place who could support you. And that's integral to what we say to women.
That's exactly right. I have a team of people in place, a team of women in place who can support me. And John, my husband does help a lot in undefining motherhood, but he's actually been dealing with some parental health issues as well, not like mm-hmm. mine have been, but enough that it has still pulled him away. And then being a support system for me has pulled him away. And so, you know, it's really, I think you're probably being a little humble here, Sarah, but you're the person who's kept this train running. And I'm oh so grateful for that. But we also have the other Sarah, who was on our podcast with Kara Everett mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. And we also have Samantha, who is an amazing researcher, and she's a chemistry PhD in public health. And like, if it were not for this team of women, I think undefining motherhood would have imploded over the past six mm-hmm. weeks. And I think, yeah, this speaks so much to like the importance of building a support system when you don't need it.
Yep.
Because sometimes shit hits the pan and you do need it. And like, if it's not already there, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And you built a team and you were able to step away and get what you needed to do done.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
And also like, so much has changed in the world, right? We sat down and we recorded the majority of this season in December. Mm-hmm. And now we're chatting and it's April, like a third of a year has passed. So much has changed in the world for our audience. And for us. And I think we need to acknowledge that. And that's something we want to talk about a little in this episode, too, because we're, you know, we're airing things that we recorded in December that we might have taken a slightly different approach to. Were they aired or were they recorded after everything that's happened since then has actually happened? So, you know, I want to chat about that a little bit as well. And Sarah, I know there's kind of one major thing that has really impacted the community of listeners we have here, particularly people in undefining motherhood's fertility community, and has also very personally impacted you. Are you comfortable just like telling us a little bit about what's been going on?
Yeah. It's been a wild 4 months, I think, for everybody. But for those of us in the infertility community, IVF, trying to conceive, we had a huge setback with the Alabama ruling. So if you haven't heard of this, and I'm sure our listeners have, basically the Supreme Court of Alabama said that embryos were people, right? Mm-hmm.
Frozen embryos created through in vitro fertilization, yes.
Right. We're people and we're human life. And this actually came after a really interesting court case, right, where embryos were damaged in a fertility clinic. And yes. The parents sued the fertility clinic because of the damaged embryos. So in that ruling, the Supreme Court of Alabama said that embryos were human life. And what that did was effectively for about 2 weeks shut down in vitro fertilization in the state of Alabama. And there was a lot of national coverage, and some Alabama politicians said some really stupid things about IVF, about the process of IVF.
About the process of IVF, about how we support children. We want more children. This ruling's good. And reporters are saying, but this ruling would make fewer children. And they're like, that's right. It's good. We want more children. Anyway, sorry, not to that like tangent.
Tommy Tuberville. Yeah. It was a giant mess. And what happened was basically my partner and I, our IVF journey was put on hold for a very, very stressful 2 weeks. And we were in a counseling support group with other women who were going through the same thing and some husbands and partners. But yeah, it was just this unnecessary turmoil for people in our community. And I think since the fall of Roe, more things will continue like this to be challenged. So
yeah,
I think we're in for kind of a wild ride.
It's been a crazy ride. And I want to add a couple of things to this. One, for those of you listening who have never been through infertility or something like IVF, when you say our IVF journey was postponed for a really scary 2 weeks, that doesn't sound on the surface like a big deal to perhaps
it's average such a huge deal.
listener. It's such a huge deal because when you're going through fertility struggles, everything is about the waiting. In fact, in the book that I've been supposedly writing for years, one of my chapters is titled What Tom Petty Taught Me. And what Tom Petty taught me is that the waiting truly is the hardest part.
The hardest part. Yep.
I mean, it really, really is. You spend so much time waiting. And when you say an IVF cycle got, you know, postponed, it got paused for 2 weeks, that's not actually just 2 weeks, right? Because everything has to happen at a certain point in a cycle. So when it was paused for that 2 weeks, we didn't know if it was coming back.
Right.
And then also that means it set back where now the fertility clinic has to reschedule everything. They have to schedule everything based on every single patient's cycles. So this could, for some people, be a 6 week delay, a 10 week delay, a many, many month delay. And in the meantime, people were scrambling to try to find coverage elsewhere. Sarah and her partner had an appointment with my clinic here in Atlanta.
Yep.
But even that was scary because, you know, when you're dealing with everything turning over like this, you're wondering, like, well, what's actually safe? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Is Georgia a safe state to go to? We don't know, but it's the closest state. And so, you know, that's where we're going to go next. So it's just, I really want to emphasize the level of upheaval that was for parents in this process.
We were actually really lucky because we had not started the process.
Yes.
And so many women had their IVF cycles disrupted. And what that means is that they were on, egg stimulating medications. Yes. If they were going through the retrieval cycle, or if they're going through a transfer cycle, they're on a ton of hormones, progesterone, estrogen, like just insane amounts of
makes
hormones.
Makes your body feel terrible, costs a tremendous amount of money.
Oh my God, the cost of that. And to stop that cycle mid just injecting yourself with hormones, like I just.
No. Like it is physically, emotionally, It's truly maddening. And I actually, Sarah and I were talking a lot about this. And like, I was at an event where I was talking to some really big wig people about some unique ways we could talk about it. And we were talking to like Good Morning America and to, you know, a bunch of big outlets who really wanted these personal stories from the inside and what we're seeing in the community. And literally while Sarah is dealing with this and I'm like pitching these ideas and also trying to support her through it, is all of a sudden the day that I get a text message that says, we think your dad has cancer. And then I was in New York and I rushed to the airport and got a text message while I was going through security at JFK that it's called hepatocellular carcinoma. This is what it is. So it was an awful time. And it was an awful time to kind of get that view of like, I'd built my network of support. Sarah had built her network of support. And all of a sudden, like neither of us can fully be there for each other the way the other sees. And I feel like there's so much going on in the world right now that that's kind of like every adult's story.
Yeah, it really is.
At the moment. It really seems that way. Like there are just so many things happening, more than we have time and space to talk to.
Yeah. And while all of that's happening, we're also worried about what's going on in Arizona with the near total abortion ban, which is very like the one that's currently in place in Alabama. It just seems like on so many levels that, you know, we're just being hit. Locally for me with Alabama and nationally for us with what's happening in Arizona, personally with your dad, I mean, and IVF for us, like it's just beset on all sides. Yeah.
It's so much. And so for those of you who are wondering what's going on in Arizona, I think most of you probably know, we did a quick Instagram post about it. That's a thing. This is normally stuff we would be all over on Instagram and I haven't had the bandwidth. But they have basically reverted back to a Civil War era law. And it was just like it went up in the courts and the appeal against that got shut down. And so now it will go up again in the courts. And like this is just the system. And so this is how I think things have been changing so much since we recorded. So last week's episode was about the word abortion.
Yep.
And we talked about that word in a very like academic, we want to talk about what this does to the lost mom sort of way. And there are a number of reasons for that. We can get into that.
Do you want to get into that now?
Let's just go ahead and get into it. Right. Yeah, let's just get into
it. Let's do it.
So there were a number of reasons for that. Like, what are some of the reasons that you remember us saying, like, we're going to try to keep this very unbiased, Sarah?
Oh my God, that episode was terrifying. That was the hardest
thing we did all season. Like we recorded it multiple times. We were never happy with it. Mm-hmm. Like it was so scary. And it's only scary because of the word.
Yeah, right? For sure. Yeah, we were really worried that if people, even our following, heard that we were doing an episode on abortion, that they just automatically wouldn't listen, right? We were worried about upsetting our sponsor. It's just such a contentious topic. Really, we wanted to just talk about the word, the etymology of the word, what it means, how it applies to our audience, and kind of demystify it. And you started off by telling a very vulnerable story for you.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting in the podcast studio, just, you know, frozen, like with chills, listening to you tell that story and how vulnerable and open that was. Which I think has been a theme for this podcast for you, right?
I was so stunned by how vulnerable that felt for me. A lot of moments recording this podcast, you know, I've commented a lot, like it feels so much more vulnerable than writing because I don't get to edit myself. Yes, there is editing that goes on in podcasts. So like there might be a time when I have a slip of the tongue and Sarah comes in and corrects it, or, you know, I start coughing and then I'm like, oh, hey, Arian, cut that out. And that's our producer, one of our producers, one of our multiple producers. But on the whole, like what you say is what you say. It's not like when I'm writing.
Yeah, and you can edit it.
And I can go back and I can edit and revise and get multiple opinions, edit and revise. And that's part of what I like about the podcast is that it's more off the cuff. It's a very authentic, but it also leaves a lot of room for not realizing you were about to say something so vulnerable or saying something and then looking back and realizing all of the ways in which it could be interpreted that are not the way that you meant for it to be, which can all, it can happen in any form of communication. But I feel like in writing, you just have so much more chance to find it before you publish. So that's been a really big surprise for me this season. And it's felt very scary. Like, I get really obsessive over how many people have listened to episodes and how far through them they listened. Because if it's an episode where I felt really vulnerable and people are clicking out of it too soon, it feels like a judgment on my story or on me. And it's not, that's not accurate. But I do think there's just a vulnerability in sharing this way, that there's also so much importance in that. You know, I got a message yesterday. So yesterday, we're recording this on Thursday, the week before it comes out on Wednesday. So yesterday is when our abortion episode dropped. And I got a message from a member of the community. I actually meant to bring my phone so I could read it. And I didn't bring my phone in here, but I remember the gist of what she, what we talked about. We talked for a while. And she basically reached out to me and she said, hey, I have some feedback on this episode. If you're in a place where you're open to hearing it and you feel like you can
handle it. That's a nice way to ask.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And I thought, my God, how much I love, one, that she feels like she can approach me about this.
Absolutely.
And two, that she knows I've got a lot going on in my world and she's like offering me the out. And I said, no, like this episode was really scary for me. And I would love to hear your concerns, because it's clear from your tone that you're concerned about some pieces of it. And basically what she said was, you know, her name is Lindsay. And thank you, Lindsay, for reaching out about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major shout out to Lindsay, because our conversation was awesome. And she talked about how by talking about the word abortion specifically from the lost mom perspective, she really worried that we were further stigmatizing abortion simply for elective termination's sake. And she talked about how she had contemplated terminating her own first pregnancy that was unplanned, and she ultimately had decided not to and had gotten very excited about it. And then she lost that pregnancy. And like the extreme conflicting emotions that came with that. But she had to have a DNC to end that pregnancy. And she said she has intentionally referred to it as, I believe she said, surgical abortion to people, even though the baby was already gone. Because she was so, she's just concerned that coming at it from only this lost mom angle, which is really a lot of what that episode was concerned about, is stigmatizing it, is suggesting that, hey, we're not supportive if you feel like this isn't the right thing in your life at this time. And Sarah and I were honestly pretty worried about that as well. And she said, you know, these are things that have happened for so long. She said, both of my grandmothers had an abortion. And both of them almost died from it because it wasn't legal and it wasn't safely performed. And so like, this isn't a new thing.
Yeah. And that's the argument, right? Like, the more we regulate this, the more people are going to get hurt and get sick and die. People aren't going to stop having an abortion. They are just going to do it themselves in ways that are not healthy.
Exactly. And so when we were talking about that sort of separation of church and state, what specifically we were talking about was like thinking of moms going through things like termination for medical reasons, thinking of showing up at the hospital with an ectopic pregnancy, thinking of showing up at the hospital where the mom's life is in danger and the doctor has to then pause and talk to the legal team to figure out what they can do. So those are the things that we were really talking about, is like if we could come up with different words for what's happening medically and for what's happening socially, politically, then we could at least like give doctors back some of their freedom to protect their patients. But we didn't mean for that to be excluding people who are choosing to terminate for the myriad reasons that they might be choosing to terminate. So this is something I do want to delve into a lot more in season two. We're going to talk at the end about what we want to do more of in season two. And this is something I want to delve into more in season two, because our goal here is always to educate. It is always to empower. It is always to help you feel seen and heard. It is to teach you, but it's also to listen and to learn. And we never want to make people feel shameful for their opinions or decisions. That's the opposite of what we want to do. We are supporting moms however you create or do not create or, you know, embody your experience of motherhood and getting there as well. So that was the hardest episode for me, but it was also a really great moment to realize that, like, this community member not only was immediately listening to every episode that dropped, but felt comfortable enough coming to me and saying, hey, I see some concerns.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it?
Yep.
And the answer is always yes. We want to talk about it. We want to talk about it. So, like, let us know when you have things you want us to talk about. This episode is sponsored by GeneAid by SNP Therapeutics, providing genetics-powered nutrition tailored for every stage of the fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journeys. Navigating pregnancy and motherhood comes with its uncertainties, but the GeneAid test gives moms a level of control over their own and their baby's health that they've never had before. It's more than just a simple cheek swab at home. It's a window into understanding your body's unique nutritional needs. Their tests made me feel so empowered. Not only did I learn I don't process folate or choline as effectively as some people, but I also learned what to do about it, what daily values I need compared to standard prenatal recommendations, what additional nutrients could help me absorb the ones that were harder for me, how to choose the best foods or supplements depending on my lifestyle to make sure I was getting what I needed. Their test isn't just a scientific breakthrough. It's a personal journey to better health for you and your baby. It's empowering to have this level of insight. Every mother deserves this kind of personalized care. Learn more at undefiningmotherhood.com/GeneAid and use code undefining10 for 10% off. This episode is sponsored in part by the Expecting an Organized Pregnancy and Baby Planner by Undefining Motherhood. When I created this planner, it was because I knew that something had to change. I was in the trenches of new motherhood after years of infertility and recurrent pregnancy loss, and I felt like I was drowning. That fear I'd felt to plan during pregnancy, terrified Jack would never get to come home with us, had left me paralyzed. I went in to be induced, still saying, if we get to bring him home. So the paradigm shift of suddenly having a tiny human to care for, it left me treading water, barely staying afloat. Why hadn't anyone told me the truth about what I needed to know to bring home a baby? As long as you have diapers and a safe place for him to sleep, you'll be fine, people had assured me. I felt like I had straight up been lied to. Where were the voices telling me how to prepare to care for myself during the biggest transition of my life? Why had so many people made registry lists of all these items, but not told me when or how to use any of them, or even how to know if I personally needed them at all? Couldn't someone have taught me about creating stations around my house so I had what I needed when and where I needed it? Couldn't they have told me how to set up a support system so I didn't feel so alone in these deep, dark waters? That is why I created Expecting and Organized. In this book meets planner-organizer combo, you get handheld support to help you prepare for the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum you want and deserve, not for the one everyone says you should have. We've supported nearly 20,000 moms so far and receive rave 5-star reviews for good reason. Because, friend, there's nothing out there like this. I made what I needed and what you deserve. Check it out at shop.undefiningmotherhood.com and use code podcast for 10% off. Okay, so that was clearly our most challenging topic for each of us. What was your favorite moment from the season? That was the hardest. What was your favorite?
So I loved the Eve Rodsky episodes. I just think she's absolutely brilliant and generous and kind. And for her to come on, you know, we had a personal connection through our producer, Jeff, but also she came on and she was just absolutely lovely. And
to come on a brand new podcast when you're at that level really speaks volumes to you. You know, if you're going to approach a New York Times bestselling author about coming on your podcast, they're going to ask to see metrics. They're going to ask to see reach. They're possibly going to ask you to pay them unless they're in the middle of a book launch. And so to have her just say, yeah, I'm in, let's do it. That spoke so much to me about her character and who she is and how much she embodies the messages behind the work she is.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And she... over the course of speaking with us, she took the time to get to know us. And my favorite moment, and this perhaps is not the most humble thing to say, was when she realized that we had read her books and done our homework, which is, you know, if you know anything about me and Katie at this point, is like, we're going to do our homework, probably more homework than we should. But I could just kind of like, you could feel her conversation just sort of switch from this moment of her being like, oh, like, here's what, you know, Fair Play is about. Here's what Unicorn Spaces is about, to like actually engaging us with the work that we had done.
It is literally, if you go back and listen to those episodes, I don't remember if it's in
the first or
second episode, but it's when Sarah mentions Virginia Woolf and needing a room of one's own. And she makes a direct connection to some of Eve's work with that. Mm-hmm. And like on the video version, you can physically see Eve's entire demeanor change. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I really like talking to you people. And she told us that after, which was amazing.
Yeah, that moment to me, I think, was my favorite moment in the podcast for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you that moment resonated, not that moment, but also those conversations resonated so much with our entire audience, because at this point, our most popular episodes this season were the one where you and I talked about who's watching the kids and this idea of dads as babysitters. And then we followed it up with Eve on how we can use the Fair Play system to rebalance the domestic labor that we do in our households. Mm-hmm. And not only are they the most listened to, but they're the most downloaded and listened to, but they're also the ones that have had people listening like all the way through. All the time. So it's clear that this is a subject that really interests our audience, which is abundantly exciting for me, because it is one of the things I really want to be reading about and writing about and talking about more. There's the gender studies, not degree. I don't have a degree in gender studies. My degree is in English, but there was a lot of gender studies involved. And a lot of kind of, you know, feminism and learning about the history of feminism and what it means and why it's not this terrible F word that people should be afraid of, that most people who probably are like shuddering at the word feminist actually are feminists.
Yeah.
Because it simply means we believe in gender equality. We're not trying to like... you know, women take over the world. We're just, we want an equal playing field, and we want an equal playing field for all women, not just for white women, for black women, for brown women, for women of different socioeconomic backgrounds, for trans women, for the very open-minded definitions, like
full spectrum,
intersectional feminism is what we would call it. And I think that's something we can work on doing even more of.
Absolutely.
In our next season. You know, I think talking more about some of these ideas, making our lives more equitable, making our lives better, but also, you know, I think one thing we really need to ramp up in season two is the representation and the diversity. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Sarah, because I know it's been a big thing that you've talked to me about a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot harder for us to bring to life in season one than we wanted. How do you feel like we did in season one incorporating diverse perspectives? And how are you hoping that as we frame up season two, now that we have a season behind us and can sort of show people the work we're doing and hopefully make it a little easier to bring certain people on board, how are you hoping we can shift to bring in even broader perspectives in season two?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have a two-part answer that actually like branches off from the Eve Rodsky episode. And that,
oh, cool.
That is like, I think, you know, we started that episode and we started the research for that thinking that we would talk to her about fair play, mm-hmm. but she was actually promoting her book, Unicorn Spaces, which we read too, obviously, and
right,
researched.
Find your unicorn space. Yeah. And fair play is what's so famous that we didn't even know about Unicorn Space. And that's the one that for me personally,
yeah,
was more revolutionary. Right. Keep going. Sorry. I interrupted.
No. That's what I wanted to say, right? Like that was the moment where you got really passionate because what fair play does is say like we want to run our home as an organization, right? So
yes.
All systems need to be completely fair between both partners, right?
Yes.
And what happened and what Eve discovered through her research is that once you put fair play into practice, women in particular, women in heteronormative relationships get time back, right? So,
yes.
And this is something that you and John have seen in your household.
100%.
Right. Once he takes command of certain tasks, you have more time. And what you realized, or what I understand that you realized, is that you wanted to do something creative with this time.
Yes.
And that's so exciting, right? Like that you can kind of dive into your writing or your research or whatever it is that fulfills you creatively as a human being.
I mean, you know, I know when we did a game at the end of that episode mm-hmm. where Eve played a game
that.
With Sarah that was amazing. If you have not listened to this, go back and listen to our Unicorn Space episode with Eve Rodsky. It's the second Eve Rodsky episode. You mm-hmm. listen to both because we say they're going to change your life and it sounds like it's just a cliche thing that we say, but it's actually because they have changed our lives. And so, yeah, for us, you know, one thing about fair play that was so revolutionary. And we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago at a conference in Nashville with a husband creator, yeah. a male creator who is really, he's a fair play facilitator. His Instagram handle is Real Zach Thinkshare. And he talks about the mental load in a way that shows how he has come to learn about it over time. And I think for heterosexual couples especially is really important and helpful because one of the problems we have, you know, Eve told us in that episode, it takes about 3 years from a wife bringing fair play up with her husband mm-hmm. to him actually like really fully getting on board because he has to get past feeling judged, feeling blamed, feeling guilted. And that makes sense, right? That you're, if someone says you're not pulling your weight, you're gonna go on the defensive.
Of course, yeah.
We do the same thing. So I love the work that Zach is doing with Fair Play because I think he is such an approachable account for that male partner mm-hmm. to say, oh, I'm gonna listen to this dude
yep.
teach me about this. And I wonder if that shortens the time length for people. I don't know. Do I love that it requires a guy's voice to
really?
Do that? No. But like, I also understand it.
Yeah. He's so approachable too. He was wearing a hat at the conference that said recovering man child.
That's his tagline, recovering man child. And he wore the hat everywhere. And like, so we were talking and he right. asked me, like, since you've done Fair Play, because it was funny, he was talking to people about different things to get Instagram content. He did tons of interviews and they were wonderful. I can't wait for him to finish sharing them all because I've loved all the ones I've seen. But he asked me to do one and he specifically said, like, he said, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I mean, what do you need? Because I'm very well versed in mental load, in Fair Play and all of this. So like, tell me what you need and I'll tell you if I can do it because I can probably talk about it. And he said, what I really need is someone who can like kind of vent about like how difficult it is because their husband doesn't get it.
And you immediately were like, nope.
No, I can't do that. And he was like, how hard it was to make it to this conference because you had to prepare all the meals and arrange all the things. And I was like, no, that's just not my story because we've done Fair Play. We've implemented it. We do need to get better about going back and doing our like check-ins with one another. But that's not even because more is falling on me. That's because like both of us have so much on our plates with our parents right now that we just need to do a little more work to make sure we're keeping it fair.
Yeah.
So what I ended up talking to Jack, not my son. although I will talk to him about that as he grows up. To Zach about was the concept of CPE that Eve talks about, conception, planning, and execution, and how when John gets the sports card, that doesn't just mean it's his job to remember to sign Jack up for sports. It means it's his job to know when the deadlines are, to have it programmed in his phone, to have talked to Jack about what he wants to do, to make sure he's got all of the right equipment and gear, to make sure that everything is on the calendar, to make sure that the bills are paid for a little league in time, that the pictures are ordered. That doesn't mean I never help with these things. Of course, we try to both go to games because honestly, right now, like Jack's little league baseball games out in the sunshine and springtime of Atlanta is like the best mental health move that either of us can get. And, you know, it doesn't mean we don't help each other, but that he's taking over all of that. So when I said I'm going to Nashville for the weekend, I did a little bit of planning for him in that like the kids' schedules were insane that weekend and I'm more of the schedule person. And so I went ahead and did that planning, but I didn't plan meals. I didn't leave him instructions. I didn't have to say, here's how you put Brandon to bed. Here's what she eats. Like, no, he knows that stuff. Right. I knew I might come home to some dirty dishes because I have the dish card and John hates dishes. And quite frankly, so do I. But like, I wasn't going to come home to a train wreck and my kids were going to be fine and everything was going to be great. So it was really an incredible reminder to me of how well this system works and of how much it does give us back our time. You know, when y'all did that game in unicorn space, finding your unicorn space, what you decided that your kind of passion project was writing.
Yep.
And mine, I actually decided was storytelling. Which includes writing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be writing. I think it's why I get so much joy out of this podcast, because I love getting to share stories. And originally, my plan was to go finally actually write my book. And then my dad got sick. And I don't have the bandwidth to fully. I am still actually putting time aside to work on the book. But I also am putting time aside for I'm having brunch with friends on Sunday. And I know during that brunch, it's not just that idea of like brunch with friends is self-care, right? It's that storytelling is what I have found is healing for me. So I'm going to meet some of my best friends and we're going to talk and we're going to tell stories. And that is what is going to heal me. One of my values is community and friendship. And that is going to help heal me. And so even when things come up that make it hard to do, like that one thing you really wanted to do as the unicorn space, just having that knowledge of like, for me, it's storytelling and I will make time for it, has allowed me to find healing and support and comfort in times when I can't go do anything big. And that's such a big crux. So I want to talk about this so much more next season. And one thing I really want to do is, well, I was going to ask you this question at the end, but it also kind of comes into what we're talking about right now.
Can I make one more point about that, though?
Yeah.
So you originally asked me about intersectionality, and we started talking about
intersectionality.
You brought
me so excited.
Yeah. So my point was, I want to know other women's stories in terms of what they do with their time, what they do with that unicorn space, right? If yours is telling stories, I want to hear from Black women and brown women and trans women about what they do with that time they've been given back.
Yes.
Or if they're struggling to find it, right? Like, how can we proactively find this time for them? Like, what can we do as a community?
Yes. How can we do that? And if you go back and you watch the Fair Play documentary, you will be, I believe, pleasantly surprised
by how diverse it is.
How much they really take in socioeconomics into account. They have an extremely diverse set of people, socioeconomic, economically, religiously, ethnicity wise. They're in different countries. So Eve's research is showing benefit to people in all of these level, all of these different areas of life with a lot of diversity. But that doesn't mean that we're all able to achieve the same level of free time.
Right.
If you're getting better equity in the household, but you're still a single mom working two jobs and you're just getting better support from outside, or if you're partnered and so you're using the Fair Play system, mm-hmm. but you're both working two jobs, yeah. it's not going to be the same as it is for me, where my white-skinned suburban husband and I both own our own businesses. It's not mm-hmm. going to look the same. And I agree. I would love to hear from those voices, because we do know that Fair Play still works.
Mm-hmm.
We have that data. Eve has that data. But does how much free space does it open up, and what kinds of things are they able to do with that space? I think is a really important question.
Mm-hmm.
And it also reminds me, and so this is one of my kind of closing questions for you, Sarah.
Okay.
I have set two very specific goals. Okay. And when I say specific, I have so many goals for season two. It's crazy, okay? Like, more diversity, equity, inclusion, a better variety of voices and experiences, more input from the community, all of these different things, because we created this whole first season ourselves. And now we have a community behind us who can give us feedback and we can create something for them. So all those are part of my goals, right? But I also wanted to just do some like very, very, very simple, easy, actionable goals. And my two goals are, one, I want you on more of the interview episodes. Which we didn't do as much this season for a number of reasons, many of which were just related to time. Mm-hmm. But I miss your voice in those episodes. So that's one of them. And the other one is, I want to read more. Even if we're not interviewing the authors, I want to read more for mm-hmm. next season. And the thing that I'm thinking of specifically is the first book on your and my docket, and you don't know this, I'm telling you right now, I'll send you a copy, is going to be Real Self-Care by Dr. Pooja Lakshmi.
Nice.
I love her on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to her recently on the We Can Do Hard Things podcast, which...
Favorite podcast.
My best moment of the podcast season was when one of my listeners, our listeners reached out and said to me, it feels like we can do hard things, but for moms. And oh. I was like, and
oh my
you
gosh.
Are now my new favorite person yeah. on the planet. Thank you. So I was listening to her on that podcast. And you know what's amazing is Glennon and Abby were actually saying in that episode that when their team reached out to Pooja to ask her to come on the podcast, mm-hmm. she said, I'm sorry, I'm on a mental health break right now.
Good for her.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
Turning
no.
down
yes.
Glennon Doyle and Abby Wambach for your mental health break. Like, she embodied what she was teaching so much. And from what I gathered from that podcast episode, it sounds to me like unicorn spaces and real self-care are very similar.
Nice.
But this coming from a very different perspective, from a mental health professional,
right.
From a very different angle and a different background and a different ethnicity. And I'm really excited to read this book. So that's like task number one as we start revving up for season two. So what's your like tiny tangible goal for season two?
I think this goes back to what we were talking about kind of the trajectory of hosting. And having never been on a podcast, sat in front of a mic, any of those things. And that, yes. You know, we kind of got better at it over the course of the season. But there are still some episodes where my voice is just very light. You know, the goal originally was to have me on to keep you on task, right? Like, which is funny because that's kind of my role at Undefining Motherhood in general.
Yes, to keep me on task, but yeah. Also to bring in unique perspectives, interesting research.
Yeah.
And you did all of that. But I do think it's interesting. I think you and I view this so differently. You're listening to it and you're saying my voice feels kind of light. So one of my goals maybe – tell me what your goal is.
Yeah, so the goal is there just to speak up more or to be a little bit louder, especially in places that I'm passionate about. Yes. And kind of, I guess, just be more present in my own voice and confident in it.
Yes. And it's funny because – one of my goals also, and this actually has even come in toward the end of the season, is that when I go back and listen to episodes, I feel like I am constantly steamrolling you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to be. It's just that I talk a lot.
Yeah. And we understand that dynamic, but other people don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We understand it, but I listen and I'm like, man, it just sounds like I just ran. So that one of my big goals too is to listen more.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to, at the very least, do what I just did and be like, oh, I started talking to explain and I realized I didn't let you finish. Yeah. Please finish before I say what I wanted to.
Yeah. Introverts everywhere. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. Introverts everywhere. I'm actually an introvert.
Nobody's going to believe that.
Nobody's going to believe it. I am. At least according to that, like, Myers-Briggs, you get your energy from either people or being alone. In this phase of life, I get my energy from being alone. But I do teeter the line of introvert and extrovert.
You're an extroverted introvert.
That's accurate. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I am an extroverted introvert for sure. I love people, but like one-on-one, small group, I need to know my role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what makes me feel like I steamroll here sometimes is that my role is host.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier for me because I know my role. Like, I don't want to go to a party. I don't mind hosting a party because I know my role. But I don't want to just go show up at a party with a bunch of people. It's very uncomfortable for me because I'm a wallflower in that situation. I just go stand in a corner until someone takes pity on me. So here I know my role, but in doing that, I do. I'm a strong personality and I do sometimes like take over when I don't mean to. And so that's something I really want to be more cognizant of.
I think it's all just an organic process, right? We're all learning who we are and what we want to do and grappling with all these problems.
It is. It's so organic. But, you know, I also wonder if it's part of that, like, as women, we have been conditioned to blame ourselves and to think we're not doing a good enough job. And like, I wonder if other people listening to this are like nodding their heads like, yeah, Sarah, you do need to speak up more. And yeah, Katie, you do kind of steamroll. Or if they're sitting back thinking,
I don't
you guys are judging yourself on things that like didn't happen. We were both fine.
True.
Tell us, let us know. So that's really kind of where we want to wrap it. We want to wrap it by telling you that we want to hear from you. We are going to take a few months. We are going to let some pieces of our life settle before we do anything to record season two. And so we want to make sure we can give you our all and our best. And we want to know what you want from it. And we also want your help in that time spreading the word about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I want you to do. If you've loved this season and you want to help us grow the podcast, you want a voice in what's coming up, I want you to go to undefiningmotherhood.com/podcast. And you're going to see a place where you can join our VIP list. And here's what that means. The VIP list simply means you get emails where you get behind the scenes info about what's going on. You get goodies and prizes in exchange for your opinions and your feedback. And you get a live Zoom call with Sarah and me at the end of every single season where you can ask us questions, you can give us feedback, you can tell us what you want more of. We just get to know each other as people and as a community, because we really want you to understand that this podcast is not something we want to be shaped by us. This is a community, and we want it to be shaped by your voices as much as by our own. We will go and we will learn and we will read and we will research and we will talk about the things that are speaking to you. So if you go to undefiningmotherhood.com/podcast, you can join that VIP community and you'll get access to goodies, prizes, emails, surveys that will get you goodies and prizes, and also that live Zoom. And then what you also can do is you can respond to those emails and you can just give us feedback and you can say, hey, here's what I want more of. And if you just really hate getting emails in your inbox, but you still want to send us that feedback, podcast@undefiningmotherhood.com is open. We've already got people who have been submitting pitches for being potential guests on the podcast there. But we also just want to hear from you as a community. So if you want to tell us, hey, I loved this, I hated this, I wanted more of this, any feedback you want to give, we are open to it. podcast@undefiningmotherhood.com. Thank you all for being
so
amazing.
We're so grateful.
We're so grateful. Like,
we love you.
We love you so much. The fact, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe how well this podcast has done in season one when my world literally crumbled around me and I had to completely stop marketing it for the entire last two thirds of the season. There has been zero marketing, not even an email. And you all have still stuck by us and loved it and talk to us. So now it's time to grow that. It's time to make more of it. And we can't wait to see you next season.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Undefining Motherhood podcast. It's been an honor to share this time with you. Remember, you're not just a listener. You're an essential part of our community. If today's conversation resonated with you, I have three simple requests for how you can help us grow. First, subscribe wherever you listened so you don't miss an episode. Second, we'd love it if you could leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast, as that's one of the most important ways we can grow and share our message and community. And finally, we'd love to hear from you. Jump over to Instagram and find us at Undefining Motherhood, where you'll see a post about this week's episode where we can continue the conversation. Thank you for being a part of the Undefining Motherhood community, where together we're making change. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other.